Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD and personality disorders. With us in our virtual studio is Dr. Roberto Olivardia. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, May the 9th in the year 2018 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our show tonight is being brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. In doing so, we're offering you two free digital copies of Attention Magazine. All you have to do is listen for the secret word given out in each of three shows. Write down the date of the show or the title of the show and email us the title with the associated secret word to attention at attentiontalkradio.com, and we will email you those two magazines, current magazines, of which Dr. Roberto, who I guess tonight has had lots of great articles and a lot of great content. So, again, we encourage you to participate. We've got a little tip that Chad's got prepared for us that we're going to run, and then we'll get into the show. So here we go.
Many people report that exercise improves ADHD symptoms and relieves stress and anxiety. Find what works for you. Dancing, yoga, running, or long walks. Choose a fitness plan and find strategies that help you stick with it. For more tips, visit Chad's website at helpforadhd.org.
Thanks again, Chad, for that tip and your continued support. For those that are not aware of Chad, they're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage our listeners to become a member. There's a lot of great information. You get discounts to the annual conference. You get Attention Magazine. There's a whole host of stuff that you get. But the real reason we encourage you to actually be a member is to support the organization because of them, we speak with one voice on Capitol Hill and different regulatory agencies, and a strong Chad is a strong ADHD community. So to learn more, sign up, go to chadd.org. So with us tonight in our virtual studio is Dr. Roberto Olivardia. He's one of my favorites to interview. He's got an amazing way of taking things and simplifying them. I encourage you to Google Attention Talk Radio Olivardia. We've got shows on OCD, bipolar, eating, all kinds of stuff. Tonight we're talking about ADHD and personality disorders, and Roberto is a clinical instructor of psychology at Harvard Medical School. He maintains a private psychotherapy practice in Lexington, Massachusetts, where he specializes in the treatment of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, body dysmorphic disorder, and obsessive compulsive disorder. He also specializes in the treatment of eating disorder in boys and men. He's the co-author of the book Adonis Complex, a book which details the various manifestations of body image problems in men. He's presented at many talks and conferences around the country, including CHAD Conference, which is now the International Conference on ADHD, and he sits on the Scientific Advisory Board of Attitude Magazine. We'll be talking the show. You can reach out to Roberto at his email address, which we'll be giving before the first commercial break. And so with all that, Roberto, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jeff. Always a pleasure.
Oh, well, it's always a pleasure for me because I always get to learn something, and tonight is no different. ADHD and personality disorders. Can you first, let's talk about what is a personality disorder? Is it a disorder, a condition, or a question of style?
Sure. So the personality disorders are they're diagnosable conditions that typically you would diagnose from the age of 18 and up, although you can see personality disorder traits in adolescents, but in terms of getting a full diagnosis, it's typically in 18. And it really is a way of a style, basically, of how someone is in relation to other people, to the world, that often gets them into a lot of trouble, that basically is associated with a lot of impaired functioning, either occupationally or relationally. And it's a combination of a certain way that an individual thinks, certain views that they have about the world or other people and of themselves. It could be also behaviors that those views sort of enact and act out that are consistent patterns in their life. So this isn't just somebody who's having a bad day and happens to be very irritable. We wouldn't diagnose them with a personality disorder. It's when it is a consistent, pervasive way of basically being in the world, and I ultimately really of how that person defines their sense of self. Most people with personality disorders really don't have a very strong sense of self. And when you don't have a very strong sense of self, it makes you very vulnerable to then kind of falling into all of these various symptoms that we would see with personality disorders. And the one that is often, I would say, probably the most heavily researched, there are two that are researched with ADHD. One is borderline personality disorder, and the other is antisocial personality disorder.
What is borderline personality disorder?
Sure. So borderline personality disorder is marked by somebody who has a history of instability in their interpersonal relationships. So their relational functioning is the thing that's most at the core of borderline, of BPD for short. So it's someone with a history of unstable interpersonal relationships. They have a very unstable sense of themselves and self-image. And what I mean by that is, you know, we wake up every morning and we might see ourselves in a certain way. So today I might see myself for the most part, I consistently see myself as someone who has worth and value and has something to offer and is a loving person and tries to do the best that he can do, you know, in every day. Does that mean every day I feel like I'm at 100%? No, but for the most part, even on my worst day, I still feel like those traits are traits that define me and are my sense of self. Whereas for someone with BPD, they can really vacillate in terms of seeing themselves as very worthy individuals. And at other moments, it doesn't even have to be by day. It could be at other, you know, contexts, really see themselves as completely worthless. So they fall into these traps of sometimes idealizing themselves almost in very narcissistic ways, like I am superior to other people, to then periods of devaluation, I am worth nothing. And as a result, they often will see other people in that way. So people in the world is very black and white to people with BPD, and we know that the world, in fact, is not black and white. So if we see, you know, someone is perfect, let's say a partner that we're, you know, starting a relationship with, that they're perfect, and we really see them as perfect. And then the second they make some kind of mistake or error or all the things that happen in relationships, they didn't attune to our feelings right away. To someone with BPD, that's what we call an injury to them. And then now that person has fallen off the throne, and now they're cast in this sort of almost like enemy territory. So self-image, image of other people, and a lot of impulsivity. So BPD is also marked by a lot of symptoms of impulsivity regarding anything. I mean, the rate of eating disorders in BPD populations, self-harm, things like cutting or any type of self-mutilation, drug abuse, stealing, sexual acting out, all of those things make for a BPD diagnosis.
So this is kind of interesting to me, because if lots of impulsivity is here, determining if they have a personality, a borderline personality disorder and ADHD, it sounds like that could be a little tricky.
Absolutely. And I would say that the thing that most commonly overlaps when we look at ADHD and BPD is the impulsivity. That's the part that can be very, very difficult to tease out. So where I am meeting someone and trying to, because I meet with many, a lot of my training and my internship was at personality disorders. I trained at McLean Hospital, where some of the biggest BPD experts are. And so I would see lots of people with BPD, and then sometimes, you know, they would act out impulsively, and a number of them also had ADHD. And sometimes it's important to, or all the time it's important to really get a sense of, well, what is this impulsivity? What is the purpose of it and the function of it? So for example, for someone with ADHD, a lot of times that impulsivity is a way of trying to just get out of a feeling of boredom and trying to look for stimulation. After the fact, sometimes, you know, people with ADHD will be like, oh, you know, if they, let's say, did something that they've regretted later, they realize, oh, okay, I shouldn't have done that. And they have every intention of trying to correct that in the future. And it doesn't always happen. Whereas people with BPD, a lot of times what I'll hear from them is it almost feels like a willfulness of wanting to be, knowing they are almost more conscious in some ways that they're acting out. There's almost either a very sort of conscious effort of I'm going to do this thing to be dramatic, to sort of push it over the edge. Now, part of that is also because one of the common hallmark symptoms of BPD are chronic feelings of emptiness, which is very different than in person with ADHD, who sometimes can feel that way. But more when they talk about emptiness, someone with ADHD, they're often referring to feeling understimulated. That we all know, for those of us with ADHD, that if we're understimulated, if we're bored, it feels like nothing is happening. There's no juice happening in that moment.
Yep.
But the second we're confronted with a stimulating situation, we then feel very much connected to ourselves and whatnot. But even when we're bored, we're still in touch with our sense of self. Like when I'm bored, there is a part of me that is saying, I am bored because I know myself to be somebody who enjoys X, Y, and Z, and those things are currently not in my environment, and that's why I'm bored. So that's still someone who is very in touch with their sense of self enough to know that that's what's happening. With BPD, it's really a feeling of emptiness. It's almost like they're saying, I don't know what it is that I need. I don't even know who I am. I just feel nothing. I feel numb.
Wow.
So boredom isn't even the feeling. Like there isn't, because again, to be bored is having some sense of yourself, of what you need and what's lacking in a situation. But with BPD, it's a very scary feeling to feel like nothing. And so a lot of times that impulsivity is not to even just get stimulation for fun, you know, like people with ADHD might look for like a thrill. It's really to just feel human. It's to feel like I am alive. And so a very extreme form of that is in self-injury and cutting. So when people with BPD will cut themselves, they're not cutting themselves for suicidal reasons. You know, we would call it sort of it used to be called a parasuicidal behavior. Sometimes that still term is used. But that term has actually not been used as much because for a number of people with BPD, it has nothing to do with being suicidal. So we call it a self-injurious behavior. That basically what they're doing is I'm feeling nothing, I'm cutting myself, and it's releasing, I mean, there is a biological mechanism that's releasing these pain receptors that now make you feel a rush. Now, for someone who has a full sense of themselves, when you cut themselves, it's going to be extremely painful because you're already in your body. But if with BPD, they feel very empty, they feel almost disconnected and dissociated from their body. So when they cut themselves or when they're driving 150 miles an hour or when they're binge eating, it's like, okay, I'm here. I'm in my body. Yep. This is almost proof that I'm existing, which is very different than what you hear for people with ADHD.
Yep. I tell you what, let's take a pause and go to break. We come back, we're just going to talk about any social behavior, and then we're not going to talk about the treatment and the overlap of these things, because we know that people with ADHD, I don't think any of us likes the word the comorbid condition, but 60% of the time, I think, is the percentage I've heard the most that ADHD runs with something else, and I got to believe personality disorders are there. So we'll get into that after the break. For those that are interested, Dr. Roberto Olivardia does field questions. If you've got something in particular, his email address is Roberto, R-O-B-E-R-T-O underscore Olivardia, O-L-I-V-A-R-D-I-A at hms.harvard.edu. And everybody, our secret word tonight is actually Roberto. Again, our secret word is Roberto. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Get it right with Omega Bright, the premier natural advanced omega-3 formula for improved attention and focus. Omega Bright was formulated by Dr. Carol Locke while on faculty at Harvard Medical School and was the first high-concentrate omega-3 on the market. Omega Bright is recommended by New York Times bestseller and leading ADHD authority, Dr. Ned Hollowell, who takes Omega Bright and recommends Omega Bright to all his patients. Order Omega Bright today. Visit OmegaBright.com or call 1-800-699-6525. Enter code ATTENTION on checkout for the chance to win a month's supply of Omega Bright.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by DigCoaching.com.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Roberto Olivardi talking about ADHD and personality disorders. And before the break, we were really trying to understand personality disorders as a type of style, but it's a diagnosable condition, and there being two kind of major ones, one a borderline personality disorder and antisocial. Dr. Olivardi, can you describe just what antisocial personality disorder is?
Sure. So antisocial personality disorder is quite serious, and one that actually we often will hear about in legal realms. And that is basically a pervasive pattern of, again, being in the world, relating to the world and to people in a way that has a real disregard or violation of the rights of other people. So these are individuals who often will really have difficulty and often have a willingness and willfulness of not wanting to conform to the norms of lawful behaviors, and so often engage in deceitfulness, again, a lot of impulsivity, aggression, and again, these are individuals who often will commit unlawful acts or, you know, criminal acts. Our prison system is filled with individuals with antisocial, you know, personality disorder. And the reason that it's often looked at with ADHD, it's, and this is very important because I mean, certainly when I was young or even in grad school, when I learned about ADHD, the consensus was that, you know, everyone with ADHD was basically going to end up in jail or have conduct disorders, or, and that's not true. However, the opposite is true, that the majority of individuals who have, you know, conduct disorders, who have antisocial personality traits, have a history of ADHD, but the other is not true. So most people that have ADHD do not commit criminal behavior in criminal acts, but the majority of people that do commit those acts, you'll often see in their history, childhood history of ADHD.
Oh.
And what the research shows is that there are factors, obviously, that play into how having ADHD, and this is true for both BPD and antisocial, how that ADHD is a significant risk factor. And it's how that ADHD is basically cultivated, how it's parented, how the peer group around that individual, all of those factors start to make a difference as to then whether it develops into a personality disorder. Because a personality disorder in general is not something that just happens. It really is something that has There are biological mechanisms to it, but really primarily it's one of how it's shaped within a family, within a peer group, and the relationships that that person has. You'll often see histories of trauma, of sexual or physical trauma in individuals with personality disorders, or family systems that are marked by emotional unavailability or abandonment, alcoholism or drug abuse, which again suggests that there's a parent that's emotionally unavailable to some degree, inconsistent parenting styles, very tumultuous relationships that basically set up a child now who already has issues, assuming if they have ADHD, who already has issues with impulsivity or self-esteem issues by having ADHD and or learning disabilities. And it really creates this sort of storm that then develops into a personality disorder. So we're not born, no one's born with BPD or with antisocial personality disorder. It's something that, unlike something like ADHD, which you're born with these sort of genetic traits, you're not born with a personality disorder. It's something that has to evolve and develop through basically, you know, your relationships and in your life.
Yep. So, in listening to this, are people with ADHD often misdiagnosed just with a personality disorder?
Definitely. That, you know, I find, you know, as you know from our previous shows that we've done, Jeff, that my intense specialty is looking at the comorbidity of how ADHD is with other, you know, disorders and conditions. And I'm very sensitive to the fact of that it is often misdiagnosed in either way. So, for example, I've seen patients who are diagnosed with borderline personality disorder who don't have borderline personality disorder, that, yes, they're impulsive. But when they're talking about, you know, when the box gets checked off, chronic feelings of emptiness, but when I ask them in more detail, they're very in touch with their sense of self. They're just bored all the time. And then, of course, you inquire more about that and you find out, oh, that's ADHD. Or when, you know, you look at identity disturbance is one of the other criteria for BPD, that people with ADHD have a very solid identity, but that identity could be someone who's interested in tons of things, which can look like someone who has a diffused identity, but that's very different. You know, people with BPD will say, I don't know who I am, whereas people with ADHD will say, I know who I am. I am someone, though, that wants to be an actor, an astronaut, a teacher, a psychologist, an artist, and a plumber. Yep. That is who I am. But that's a solid sense of your identity. That's not an unstable sense of self. So it's very important, As I say this in every time I do talk, for anyone, you know, with ADHD to really make sure that they're working with someone or at least having someone on their treatment team that understands ADHD to tease it out. At the same time, I've seen people who are diagnosed with ADHD who it becomes very apparent that either they do in fact have ADHD, but they also have a personality disorder, or they don't have ADHD, they just have a personality disorder. And that often comes in the form sometimes, you know, when I'm working with people and, you know, they'll tell me about how they got fired from this job because their coworkers just didn't like them. And then I'll ask them more about job history or relationships. And it turns out that every job they've had, somehow their coworkers were jealous of them, didn't like them. Every relationship ended in this very stormy way because someone didn't treat them right. They were treated unfairly. So there's this sense of them kind of always being like the victim in situations and seeing themselves as being targeted. Then you start to wonder, wait a minute, this is a very pervasive pattern happening here. And it plays out in the therapy. As a therapist, you know, that I'm very lucky to have gotten the training that I did because, you know, one of my first patients that I had in one of my first internships at McLean was a patient with very severe borderline personality disorder who would turn her chair around and literally have her back to me for probably 5 sessions in a row, wouldn't say a word to me. And we would sit there for 50 minutes. And my supervisor said, this is what you do, you know, and this is, she's basically testing boundaries with you. And I thought, and as someone with ADHD, it's very difficult to sit in silence for 50 minutes. But we did. And And then, sure enough, at the sixth session, she turned her chair around, and she still didn't speak to me, and looked at me with, you know, this face of rage. And I'm thinking, wow, this is really interesting. And then, after a period of time, I guess I passed whatever test, and then she started to open up, you know, more to me. And then I became sort of idealized in her eyes, which is not a good place to be, you know, because the more you're idealized, the harder the fall is once you say or do something. And that inevitably happened. And I was prepared for that, you know, that there's going to be something I say that might seem invalidating. And then I become, you know, just one of the many people that don't understand her or get her. And then it becomes apparent, wow, this is what this is. Like, this is what a personality disorder is, as opposed to, you know, just somebody who, let's say, is irritable or might be very blunt or, you know, might be or have these certain traits. So they absolutely get misdiagnosed, or one is underdiagnosed. And studies will show, Jeff, that up to 20 to 30% of people with BPD have ADHD. So that's a significant amount of people with the personality disorder. And I can tell you that in the personality disorders community, that there's a lot they still need to learn about ADHD, given that high comorbidity. And studies are also showing that having ADHD, you're more likely to be diagnosed with a borderline personality disorder than people who don't have ADHD. So we don't know exactly how many people with ADHD have a personality disorder, but we know in statistical analyses that having ADHD increases your risk of developing one.
Got it. We're going to go to break here in a second, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about treatment of these things. But before we do, what are just some of the other personality disorders? We've been talking about these two as being the main types. So just, can you share with our audience other types so they're familiar with what falls in this category?
Sure. So another one that's less researched is narcissistic personality disorder. So that's an individual who has a pervasive pattern of grandiosity and self-admiration. They lack an incredible amount of empathy. They're individuals that might that literally see themselves as superior to other people. Now, it's really a complete defense to an incredibly weak ego and insecure feeling of themselves. But it comes out in this way. They're individuals who are preoccupied with fantasies that they are the most beautiful, most successful, most powerful, have the, you know, greatest memories of all time, that might be the most attractive people on the planet. And obviously we all have known a narcissist at some point in our lives. It's very, very difficult being in relationships with individuals like that. It's a very, very difficult disorder to treat, because narcissists don't come to therapy for narcissistic personality disorder. They come to therapy because their wives or husbands are leaving them, they got fired from another job, and they think something's wrong with those people for not seeing the brilliance in them.
Yep.
Now, having ADHD makes someone at risk for that, because if you're someone with ADHD who has a poor sense of self, who has all of these insecurities, who, you know, is told by other people you're dumb, you're less than, with a bunch of other factors in play, can have someone almost cope with that by developing the sense of, well, maybe I'm just better than, they're just jealous of me, I'm better than them. And they're not really dealing, of course, with their executive functioning issues or things like that. Another is avoidant personality disorder. So that's an individual that basically is a pattern of social inhibition, feelings of inadequacy, extreme hypersensitivity to any negative evaluation, but to the degree where it's an individual that's really almost makes people feel bad that they're even giving any kind of criticism to them. And they're individuals that really have a hard time growing up and maturing. So they have no problem with letting other people do all of the things that they're supposed to be doing. So they're not individuals that feel bad that their moms, that they're living in the basement, you know, of their parents' house. They're individuals that actually feel like, no, this is what should happen. And that, you know, people who don't enable that are sort of hurting them in some way. And so you have avoidant, dependent personality disorder, which is along the same lines, and something called obsessive compulsive personality disorder, which, you know, you typically see in individuals with OCD, although it's very different than OCD. It's not obsessive compulsive disorder. OCPD is individuals who are typically highly perfectionistic, have a lot of executive functioning deficits where they have difficulty throwing out things. You'll often see that in hoarders. They can have an incredible rigidity of how they see the world, like very, very rigid. So all people who smoke marijuana are bad is sort of like something that someone with OCPD might think. I've worked with lots of men with eating disorders that have OCPD really as the driving diagnosis for their eating disorder. Well, if fat is bad for you, then eating any fat is bad. So I'm going to cut out all fat. Like it just, and not because fat from an appearance perspective, but just the morality, like people with OCPD are almost like stuck in this kind of hyper moral sort of over scrupulous way of seeing the world.
Okay. Got it. Again, when we come back, I want to talk about treatment of these things. Everybody, if you've got any questions or need to reach out to Dr. Olivardia, his email address is roberto_olivardia@hms.harvard.edu. Our secret word tonight is Roberto. Again, our secret word tonight is Roberto, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We're having a great conversation with Dr. Roberto Olivardia. As always, I'm learning a ton. Dr. Olivardia, when it comes to personality disorders, how are they treated? Like, how do you deal with that? Because I want to talk about that and then the complication of having it and ADHD at the same time. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Sure. So in terms of the having them both, and what's so important and I think is not fully clinically recognized in other communities, whether I'm talking to OCD community, eating disorders, you know, personality disorders, is that having ADHD absolutely complicates the clinical profile. It absolutely creates more impairment because I still speak, you know, sometimes in places or in circles where people, I'll be part of kind of clinical discussions and I'll ask about whether someone has ADHD and they'll say, oh yes, you know, he or she was diagnosed with ADHD, but they're out of school now, as if it's irrelevant because they're not in school anymore. Or the idea that just because they're taking Adderall or Ritalin that, you know, it's not an issue, that it doesn't present, that's so separate in some ways. And that is we need to obviously break through that myth. In fact, you know, just because someone is not in school anymore doesn't mean that ADHD doesn't affect them. That in fact, the studies that have looked at, particularly you take ADHD and borderline personality disorder, that it's striking. I mean, that having ADHD will result in higher impulsivity traits. You'll see higher substance abuse disorders, higher tendencies towards other personality disorders like antisocial or obsessive compulsive personality disorder. The thing that is most important, and I would say most urgent, is the rate of suicide and suicidal behavior, which is common in people with BPD who do, aside from the self-injurious behavior, they their rate of suicide is actually higher than in the general population. But when someone has ADHD and BPD versus just BPD, the rate of suicidal behavior is higher. So one study, for example, found, you know, the difference of for a sample of people with BPD was about half of them had had a suicide attempt versus when a sample of people with ADHD and BPD, that 75% of them had a suicide attempt.
Mm.
So when you have ADHD there, you'll often see, and this is pretty consistent, the higher rates of aggression, self-injurious behavior, and again, the higher impulsivity. Now, lots of people with BPD who engage in suicidal behavior or suicide attempts, sometimes it's just pure impulsive, that it's not always a sort of well thought out, because one of the hallmarks of BPD is emotional dysregulation. So these are also individuals who their emotional climate of how they sort of relate to emotions is all over the place, you know, that they really don't feel this consistent regulation of their emotions. So they can get anger very easily. They can get depressed very easily. They can feel euphoric very easily. It can often, BPD can often be misdiagnosed with bipolar disorder, and often there's a high comorbidity between those two. And there are some studies that have actually conceptualized borderline personality disorder almost as a variant of a bipolar disorder or a bipolar spectrum disorder, which I would agree with. I think that there's something to that in terms of that emotional dysregulation piece. So if you have someone now that has a higher level of impulsivity by virtue of having ADHD and low inhibitory controls, so someone who may not have this sort of long-term plan of committing suicide, but in a specific moment in time feels so overwhelmed and so dysregulated, and now they're so impulsive, jumping off a bridge may be the thing that they do because they're just feeling so impulsive. So it's the most important, piece is, and we see that with antisocial as well, that people who having ADHD, it just increases the rate of impulsivity, because there are lots of people who have antisocial personality disorder who don't commit a crime, who might never ever commit a crime in their life, but their antisocial tendencies might come out in relationships or, you know, might come out in some of these other ways. But having ADHD, there are lots of studies that look in the prison population, and it's the rates of ADHD and antisocial are sort of skyrocketed. Go ahead. I was just going to speak to the treatment, but if you had other questions regarding that.
No, that's fine. We're on the same page.
Yes. So, how do you just
treat a personality disorder by itself, and then we'll do the two together?
Yes. So with the personality disorders, the one, again, that is most heavily researched in terms of treatment is borderline personality disorder. And there is actually a lot of really strong empirical studies for a treatment modality known as dialectical behavior therapy, or DBT for short. And DBT was basically a therapy model developed by a psychologist named Marsha Linehan that has incredibly strong empirical support. And what's wonderful about that model is that not only for borderline personality disorder, but it has now been extrapolated to eating disorders, substance abuse. I use DBT methods with people with ADHD as well. And what DBT is it basically combines a lot of sort of psychotherapy approaches with approaches almost from like Eastern philosophy. So there are four main modules of DBT. It's a very skills-based, very behaviorally oriented treatment. Mindfulness, and as you know, in the ADHD community, friends like my Mark Burton, who does a lot of talk about, you know, mindfulness, that it is so applicable to the ADHD community. That is something that in BPD, of how are we mindful of our emotions, of our thoughts, that help with all of that emotional dysregulation, and not being judgmental, because people with BPD are incredibly judgmental of themselves and of other people and the world. Distress tolerance is another module. How do we self-soothe? How do we accept that sometimes we're just going to feel bad, and that's okay? We don't always have to escape when we feel bad. Sometimes, you know, we just have to let it kind of like flow. And I know it's easier said than done, but there are good skills that are used to that. Emotional regulation and interpersonal effectiveness, which really focus on assertiveness. Because again, a lot of the patterns of unstable relationships for people with BPD is that they fall in the spectrum of either being very passive or very aggressive. They have a hard time regulating their interpersonal style, just like they do with their relationships. And so if you're passive and you're the doormat, people step all over you, and then you get enraged because you feel like you're being taken advantage of, and you may be because you're passive. And then, but instead of being assertive, they flip to the opposite end of being aggressive. And then people are like, whoa. And then, you know, there's no credibility if you're now going to rage at people, as opposed to how are we assertive? How do we set boundaries that say respectfully, this is what I feel, this is what I think, and this is what I'm going to do. And it doesn't have to be aggressive. It doesn't have to step on your toes. It's drawing that line. So this model has been, it's wonderful for people with BPD. And other things like psychotherapy, like the talk therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy. But the DBT is the gold standard treatment for borderline personality disorder. And when someone has ADHD as well, the great thing about it is it works not only really well for people who have both, but it actually can work just for people with ADHD. I mean, think about it. Mindfulness, emotional regulation, how do we tolerate distress? How are we interpersonally effective? These are all skills that some people with ADHD alone can use. So that, I would say, if you're diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, you must be doing DBT. If you're not doing DBT, you're missing a very vital aspect of the treatment. And with antisocial personality disorder, the same thing is how do we regulate emotions? Although with antisocial, it has, you know, again, the model is a little bit different because most people with antisocial, they don't come into therapy always feeling like that they need to change themselves and their values. So whereas someone with BPD will they'll admit and they'll know, oh, like, why do I always find myself in these situations? Even if they can admit that they idealize and devalue. But with antisocial, you'll often see a high comorbidity with a narcissistic personality disorder. So you have people who come in, but again, I've never had someone come in saying I'm here to treat my antisocial personality. They're coming in because they were fired from a job, or that there was something, you know, their wife left them and they think their wife is just crazy, and then it becomes apparent, oh, wait a minute, like anyone would leave you because of the way that you're treating people and the way that you're seeing people. And a lot of times, unfortunately, they drop out of therapy very quickly once a therapist, you know, confronts them on even some of these things to change. That's not to say they can't, though, because I have worked with people who are open to hearing how some of these patterns really work not only against other people, but really don't serve them, you know, very well in that way. A lot of CBT now for younger kids or teenagers that have antisocial tendencies, working with the parents is going to be a very important thing, because parent training, parental management of stress, how a household is run, parents who have kids with ADHD either themselves also have ADHD need a lot of help and support in parenting, you know, those kids. So working with the parents is very, very important, and setting very, very firm boundaries.
So when I'm listening to this, it's interesting because there's some people out there in my they're high functioning ADD, and it's funny. So they'll call and say, I get diagnosed, and I'm like, well, what are you going to do with the diagnosis? Do you think meds would help? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, you know, if it's not impairing, it's really not that big of a deal. Some people get diagnosed and they find the medications just help them sustain focus on something longer, and they don't find it really – they find it helpful, but their life isn't impacted. But I'm hearing a lot of when you've got personality disorder and you've got this and some of the other things, it really makes much more of a call for a multimodal treatment, so that if you have ADHD and you've got some of these things, maybe you're seeing somebody and maybe taking some medications to help you focus, but whether it's in some of these situations, really therapy is really very much a part of it, and particularly if you've got one of these personality disorders, because it sounds to me it's almost like taking gasoline and throwing on the fire on ADHD, so it just makes everything that much worse.
Is that a reasonable statement, or is there anything that is worth adjusting in that?
I 100% agree. This is not – a personality disorder is not something – although medication can be a useful part of the treatment to deal with the accompanying – because everyone with a personality disorder will have some comorbid condition, typically depression or an anxiety disorder.
Yep.
So medication can help with that. But medication does not treat a personality disorder, is not sufficient, and that it absolutely is a multimodal treatment that is a combination of talk therapy, of really – because part of the treatment of a personality disorder, and when I think about the most successful sort of recovery in working with patients, are patients where the relationship with the therapist is a modeling of how to relate to people in the world. And as a therapist, you have to be a very present, honest person in the room. I remember in doing this kind of training that, you know, supervisors would say, like, you have to have be prepared. You're going to be attacked. You're going to be, you know, eviscerated. There will be times you'll be the best therapist in the world and all-knowing, and other times you're going to be a piece of crap who doesn't know what he's talking about. But the fact that you're staying with them and you're saying, look, I'm going to ride this out with you. My most satisfying sort of therapeutic experiences have been with people with personality disorders who the relationship has been such an important component to it. And so you have the talk therapy, the relationship with the therapist, the skills-based, you know, treatment, behavioral and cognitive therapy. So absolutely, it's not something that would just be, here's a medication and, you know, because it's a personality disorder by definition is not, it's something that is all about how you're relating to yourself and the world and other people.
Yeah. There's we're kind of start pulling this together and kind of wrapping it up. But the one thing I love having you on the show, Dr. Olivardia, is really to dissect the differences, because I think there's a word, it's not coming to my mind, is often something is diagnosed first and it masks sometimes a second diagnosis that's often missed.
Yes.
What do they call that? For some reason, you used to have a term, a label for that that was really cool. It doesn't come to my mind right now. Needless to say, is I think the important thing is I really am glad that we did this show to kind of bring this stuff out so that people are aware of it and that there's some things that are going on. And as I've described over the years, is if the obvious solution isn't working, there's a good chance you're paying attention to the wrong thing. And often when meds aren't working for somebody with ADHD, because we know they're very effective, it always throws out like, wait, is there something else going on here, because we might have missed, or maybe we missed the diagnosis. And even if they have ADHD and they're spot on and it's still not being explained, I always open my mind and go, what else could be going on here? Because as a coach, given that comorbid conditions are more than 50% of the time, there's a high probability that I'm right. I just don't know what it is. And I begin to ask a lot of questions. And really, as a coach, my job, I don't diagnose, but I do a lot of talking to people to help them articulate that type of stuff to the mental health professional, so that maybe those will say something that will give them a clue to say, wait a second, there's something else going on here, and they can get help for that at the same time so that they move forward, because it's not always just ADD. And I think the awareness of this is really important. Any last comments before we close this out?
I would echo exactly what you said, Jeff, that anytime, you know, treatment, we are complicated, you know, individuals that, so if something isn't, you know, quite working or not enough in terms of whether it's medication and therapy you're getting for the ADHD, I always would want people to sort of inquire, is there something else that's either at, you know, here in the room that I might not be, you know, aware of? And that's why I'm committed to always talking about comorbid conditions, because once somebody can identify that other thing, their lives just open up in a totally different way, much in the way that when someone has been undiagnosed with ADHD and they get that diagnosis, the epiphany and the openness that then happens in their life is huge. I mean, it's just – so the same is true when there's a comorbid condition that's not identified. Once that gets identified, I just see it's life-changing for people.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Olivardia, again, another great show. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, always a pleasure, Jeff. Thank you.
Everyone, again, our secret word tonight is Roberto. We hope you've gotten some insight tonight. We hope you've enjoyed it. catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.